Numbers chapter 13, hopefully you have found that by now. We'll pray and we'll get started. 3 points this morning, and we will see what the Lord has for us. Heavenly Father, we need you again. God, Lord, may our heart be closely knit with yours. And God, forgive us of how much we act in our natural man and state, Lord. And God, help us to see things the way you see things. And Lord, change our feelings and our thoughts towards things. Lord, we love you, and Lord, we need you here right now. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to just make a statement, and then we'll go from here. You are not alone in your Christian walk. Isn't that a blessing? So oftentimes say, oh, no, I feel so alone. If you could just take a minute and look around for a second. Do you understand that everybody around you is also trying, endeavoring to get closer to the Lord? You say, well, I didn't do so good this week, or I didn't. Do you understand that people feel that same way right around you? But can I say, it is so much better to serve the Lord together. You know, this past week we had a vacation Bible school. We had great lessons. Oh, the story of Amy Carmichael. We're already preparing for next year's vacation Bible school. We're excited. Before they had the decorations down, I was going around telling them, hey, next year, this is what we're going to do. Great lessons this year. Amy Carmichael, the story of India and how she helped. Some of the stories are heartbreaking. Some of them bring maybe a tear to your eye hearing of the innocence of a child. And not only did we have great lessons, we had great fellowship. There's a group of people that meet daily in the kitchen to be rewarded with sustenance that was well received. Say, what are you talking about? We had fresh biscuits and gravy the one day. Brother Garrett made us breakfast sandwiches the one day. And before the children could ever have the snack, we had to make sure it was safe. And we tried all that. Pizza and just good time of fellowship. Laughing and encouraging one another. Great lessons, great fellowship. But then great service together. Man, it is a blessing to serve the Lord one another. You know, there are certainly times for 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6 where it tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I understand that. But this morning we're going to put that thought, maybe we'll save that for another week. But this week we're going to look at what a blessing it is to be together. And the great things that can come serving together. You know, I wrote in the preface this morning, you know, sometimes we try and accomplish as much as we possibly can alone. Say, why is that? Well, I don't work well with others. Or maybe latently, meaning hidden in the confines of our heart, we want to be recognized for great things alone. I dare submit to you that is not scriptural. And we come to Numbers chapter 13, 3 points this morning. Isn't that a blessing? 3 points. But I'm only preaching one time today, so I'm going to fit two messages in together. Pastor Seatman will be covering this Sunday night, next Sunday night, and then I'll be back on Sunday nights for a little bit. Numbers chapter 13, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall they send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men which were heads of the children of Israel. We know the story. Moses sends out 12 spies, each one from a tribe. Say, spies, that sounds a little underhanded. Well, they were spying out the land. They were taking a look. God had promised them this land. They had crossed the Jordan River and they were preparing for the promised land. Oh, no, this is before the crossing of the Jordan. Sorry. This is getting ready for all this. Remember, they're going to wander after this. But he sends 12 spies out and he says, I want you to go take a look at the land. Now, the problem with taking a look at this land, it's not like going for a walk and the, you know, we have 28 acres here. Isn't that a blessing? 28 acres, the Lord has blessed us with. Say, wow, then when I was a kid, 28 acres looked a lot bigger. And you understand that we only maintain like 6 or 7 of it. So we still have an additional 20 acres of land. And it wouldn't be like just walking the circumference of the property, walking the property line. No, where they were going, they're going for a 40-day trip into enemy territory. This was not a, some of our men are getting ready for a camping trip. Yes, how many of our men are going on the camping trip or the canoe trip? Great. They take all of their valued possessions and they leave those home. And then they take the things that they'll need to survive, and hopefully they remember everything, and they wrap it up in plastic bags, and they put it in canoes, and they row for 8 hours. No cell signal or anything, and they fellowship one with another together and have a tremendous time. This is not that kind of trip. No, this trip here is the nation of Israel scoping out the land in which God has promised them, but it is inhabited with their enemies. First of all, we see a group of people that were available. I don't know if when they came to the tribe of Simeon and they said, all right, Shaphat, and they call his name out, the son of Hori, you've been elected. I don't want to go. Well, but we need you to take a look at the land. We need you to scope out the land. We're concerned. We need to know what's going on. I don't want to go. I'm afraid. No, they made themselves available. Isn't that a blessing? First part of serving together is making yourself available. I love when we have sign-up sheets and we have to put a second sign-up sheet out because so many people signed up. Praise the Lord. This past week at Vacation Bible School, Pastor Russo, I didn't get a chance to sign up. Can I just come? Absolutely. And they were a help and a blessing. There were some men here that were willing to be used by God, looking for some men to do something. This was a very important job. Look, hold your hand in Numbers chapter 13. Turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17. We know verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Isn't that good to know that we have the word of God that helps us? And it's profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look at this now. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Say, how on earth could I be ready for such a trip? How on earth could I be ready for God to be use me in any way? Hey, just get into this book and allow it to change it from the inside out. That's what happens. That the all scripture is given by. And as it becomes profitable and it becomes part of our life, what does it say? That the man of God may be perfect, not without sin, but complete, prepared, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, even if it is scoping out the land. Here, there was a group of men that were available to be used by God. As we jump down to verse 17 of Numbers chapter 13, the Bible says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. So there they are. They have their little notebooks. All right, here we're gonna. Here's the land. We're gonna look at this area, and we have little check boxes. Are the guys strong, bing, or weak, bing, few, bing, many, bing. Little checklist. That's what they're sent to go look at. As we continue on, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. We need a full evaluation of what you see. How do we prepare to take these places over? Verse 20, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Oh, they bring some fruit back. That's a blessing. But you know what they are? They're going into a dangerous place. They have to evaluate the cities, the tents. Hey, we had visitors come in today. Praise the Lord, that's a blessing. But we all know the visitors. Say, why? Because we all know each other. So here come 12 guys. They talk different. They dress different. They're not eating what we eat. They're going to stand out. They're going to have to do some covert spying. What does that mean? Maybe at night. This is a dangerous mission. They had to survey the land. But please remember this, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, I have an answer for that. Enemies. That's who I should be afraid of. The people that are trying to kill me. But when God is commissioning you to go, you truly have nothing to be afraid of. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take one guy from each tribe. I want you to send him into the promised land. I want them to take a look at what kind of people there are, what kind of houses they live in, what kind of fruit in the land that's there, and bring a report back. You think God is going to send them on a mission where they're going to be destroyed and killed? No, not in this case. And here they went, and then they come back. Look at verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Maybe there was a watch in Paran, and there he was. Man, we have people by our house. Anybody by our house? We have people by our house. And there's a bird in our neighborhood that is native to Georgia and Florida and then South America. And for some reason, they heard about the garbage plates up here, whatever it is, and they wanted to come, and they've been living around my neighborhood. Yesterday, I talked to a guy from Syracuse that's trying to see this bird. He says that there are people coming from Massachusetts, all of the Northeast, to see this bird. It's a once in a lifetime. They have binoculars that can see Venus. They have cameras. I'm not kidding. The lenses on these cameras are this big to see a swallow-tailed kite. Great. I looked it up. We saw it the other day. We saw it flying around. I'm like, oh, that's neat. I'm not going to lose sleep over the thing, though. Searching high and low for this bird. Here they returned after searching of the land after 40 days. And here they come with their reports. Verse 26, it says this, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel. How many went? 12. Yes? Unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. I'm just trying to think of how this all went. You know, as you're seeing things, they're starting to take notice of, hey, this is very similar. These guys are big. These guys are strong. There's a lot more than we thought. That's a lot more fortified. Did you see Jericho? This is going to be harder than I thought. And there they are at night, maybe sitting around the camp, discussing. We have the blessing of having a cookie contest, a Christmas cookie contest. And as we're perusing and trying those things, and I get the blessing of being a judge, we're discussing things as we go. We don't just show up at the end with our results. I think they kind of knew where everybody stood as they're returning back into the camp. They just spent 40 days, again, evaluating this. And they told him and said, we come into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. So here they bring fruit back. They said it's got plenty. And then we get to verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. What are the children of Anak known for? Giants. Giants. Walled cities. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Doesn't sound too promising. It sounds like to me some of them lacked faith. And you know what? Sometimes in our life we get going and we're serving the Lord and there we are. And you know what? Every now and then we hit a little bump in the road. And we start looking at the things that are around and we go, oh, I don't know about all this. This is a lot harder than I thought. Christianity, is God really here? Is He really involved in this? We've just experienced some losses. This is difficult. And there gets to this contingency of discouragement. I like verse 30. The Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. There were two people that saw something different. Caleb and Joshua. We're told in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Here, what happens? An evil report is given, and the people are like, well, we don't want to go, we don't want to go. But there were two in the midst of the 12 that said, no, God can do this. And you know what? I want to encourage you here today. Find someone that's going to stand with you. You know, because sometimes in our mind, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes we start getting a little squirrely in our thoughts. We start giving attention to some of the things that we hear about. We lose or lack faith a little bit. Hey, lacking faith is nothing new in the Scriptures. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, that's Jesus speaking. John 6:66 says this, and that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What happened? There was a lack of faith. Titus 1:16 says this, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Lacking faith is nothing new. What we need is, in the midst of lacking faith, some people to stand for what is right and what is true. And man, I'm telling you, it is so much easier when you got somebody next to you. There Caleb goes to the house of Simeon and says, man, this is great. God, I can imagine having a little place over here. Joshua goes to the house of Issachar and he says, man, I can imagine here. He's talking about that. And they're saying, no way, we can't do this. And then Caleb and Joshua find each other. And there's encouragement. They stood together. Yes, it is going to be difficult. Yes, there's going to be, it's going to take God to work. But there's a problem when our doubts transfer to the people around us. And that's exactly what happened. The nation of Israel got disheartened. Why? Because some people lacked faith. It was through Caleb and Joshua that they convinced them otherwise. Look at verse 31. It says this, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. But Caleb and Joshua, what did they have? They had faith in God to be able to deliver them. They didn't fall to the peer pressure around them. Hey, listen, majority does not always rule. Brother Andrew, anybody ever read that book, God Smuggler? Anybody familiar with it? All of our students should raise their hand. Okay, good, great. What is it about? It's about this, is he Scottish? Where is he from? Ireland? Who read it? Where is it? Scottish, thank you. Dutch. Dutch. That I remember because he had wooden shoes. I was reading something about him. He was talking about his wooden shoes. All right, very good. And what does he say? He said this: one man with God makes a majority. Isn't that good? Let's think about that. One man with God. Here, Caleb and Joshua, and there's 10 other guys on this side that said, we can't do it. And then there's two guys over here, but God says, oh, we can do it. And these two over here say, well, God says we can do it, so we believe that God can do it. There were two guys that stood together. There was faith in two people, and that really helped them. I encourage you here today, find somebody that you can stand with. Find somebody that has some faith. Find somebody that believes God, has seen God work, and is going to lock arms with you and say, till the end, we're going to see this through. And stand together. Not because it's always easy, but because God is always who He says He was. The faith of two. Go to Luke chapter 10. This morning's message is called The Faith of Two. First, we see Caleb and Joshua standing together. Luke chapter 10. We have three examples of this in our scripture. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and there, and a certain woman named Martha received him under her house. Martha, inviting Jesus. Now, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus are friends to Christ. We see them show up multiple times together. Their form of communication when their brother Lazarus dies is very indicative that they are much more, instead of just, hey, this is the first time I've seen Jesus, they are familiar with each other. And Martha, here, she invites Jesus in as she has times before. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And oftentimes Martha gets a bad name, and we understand that. There's a time to worship and there's a time to serve. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and it came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. We hear this all the time with our children. We ask a child, can you please fold this load of laundry? I need help! You know? She's having a party at her house, and there she is. She's trying to, what? Minister and serve. Nothing wrong with ministering and serving. And she says, I could use some help in the kitchen. You disciples are messy. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall be not taken away from her. What was Mary busy doing? Worshiping, right? So here's two sisters, and what are they known for? Serving Christ and worshiping Christ. That's a good combo. There's some good things happening inside that house. They worship the Lord together. They serve the Lord together. These two sisters love the Lord. In Ephesians 6:24, I love this verse. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And I believe with all my heart, Martha and Mary both love the Lord sincerely. Martha was busy serving. Mary was busy worshiping. Now certainly there's a time to worship. When Jesus is in the house, we worship. But serving much, the Bible says, much serving. And Martha was cumbered about much serving. Man, what a blessing. You know, God brings people together that love Christ. Brother Sutliff, I don't know, but outside of Jesus, I probably never would have met you. Maybe if I broke down in Carlton. I drove through Carlton yesterday. Nice town. Good job. helped maintain that for years and years. There was no snow. That was good. Success. Roads worked pretty much. Parkway needs a little help up at the top, up by lakes. Oh, that's state? Okay, very good. We'll blame them. But think about the people that the Lord has brought into your life because of Christ. Now, Brother Sutland and I still have a very different background, even different interests. I think he's still a Yankees fan, which we're praying for. But we have a common bond. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is good to be together. And we are in a room filled with people that love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can do that alone, but I promise you, it's better to do it together. What a house to be known for serving and loving the Lord. Now, maybe siblings can take this into heart and say, hey, when people come to our house, we're going to make sure that we're serving and worshiping Jesus here. What a great testimony to have as a home. But how about into the Lord's house too? We can pair up with someone that does not bear our last name or that we don't share a parental figure with, that we can serve and worship together. The greatest bonds that you will make in this life is that of worship and service to Christ together. This past week is just evidence of that. Last 2 weeks. Again, 2 weeks ago, a bunch of young people got together and adults and helped decorate. Why? Because they love others and they love Christ. This past week, they turned their classrooms into Indian places and burned stuff. Blake was burning incense. Where's Blake? Blake burning incense, making the place smell. But bonds were made these last couple weeks because there was worship and service together. We all could have done our own thing all by ourselves, but how much better together? Caleb and Joshua stood together. Mary and Martha worshiped together. Worship is an important thing. Ephesians 5:19 tells us how important it is. Go there. Ephesians 5:19. Ephesians 5:19, worshiping, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's something about congregational singing that is a blessing. I was up here by myself a little bit, sitting next to my sister, and I was singing, and man, I was hearing a little bit too much of myself. That is not good. Not on that Ready song. That was not good. It's better when we are together with unity in voice and heart, worshiping the Lord. But worship isn't just singing. Worship is also prayer. For there, the Bible says in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We can worship God not only through song, but also through prayer. Get a prayer partner. There, how many of you growing up had a clothesline in your backyard? Warm summer days, warm breeze. You would hang up the clothes out there and wouldn't have to run the dryer. Save some electric or gas. And the fresh smell of, they come off a little stiff, but it's a little bit different. So why are you talking about that? There's a phrase of airing your laundry. I don't think you should tell everybody everything that you're feeling and experiencing. Number one, I think you should take it to the Lord. But it's good to find somebody that you can go to in the honesty and the confidentiality of that moment to say, I'm struggling right now and I need help. It's good to have a prayer partner. It's good to be able to worship God together, not just through song, but through prayer. Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together. Again, I don't think you should necessarily confess your faults to everybody, but to one another. Maybe a fasting partner. Maybe you're going to worship the Lord together through fasting. Hey, next Tuesday, I'm planning on fasting. Will you fast with me? So you got someone to call or text when the hunger pains start. Hey, quick, I need a prayer request because I'm starving. Who's that in your life? Who do you worship together with? In Ephesians 5 and verse 20, it says this, not only speaking to yourselves, but look at verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is there someone in your life that you could praise the Lord with? Giving thanks for all things. I bet after Jesus and the disciples left, there's Mary and Martha and said, man, what a blessing that was. It doesn't tell us the rest of the story. I wonder if Martha got in on some of the worship. He says, hey, listen, we'll take care of the dishes later. Why don't you come and sit and worship together? Man, I'm glad I have friends in my life when I just didn't feel like it some days, gave me a call and said, hey, how about we do this right thing together? Isn't that a blessing to have people like that in your life? Say, I don't have anybody. You are in a room filled with those people. If all the people that felt alone just find that other person, man, you could really do some great things for the Lord here. They stood together. They worshiped together. What are we looking for? We're looking for some people that could see what's important to God together. Yes, you can do it alone, but I'm telling you, I promise you it's better together. Lastly, Acts chapter 16. 3 points. We're sticking to it, all right? No bonus footage, nothing. No extended version, nothing. I want you to pay attention as we read this passage, how many times the name Paul and Silas are together. It's great. For sake of time, we're not going to read the backstory because I want the story starting in verse 19 going forward. And when our master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them, who, Paul and Silas, to the magistrates, saying, these men, Paul and Silas, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. What are they doing? They're turning their world upside down. I love it. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. They're undermining the Roman government. And the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Who? Paul and Silas. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prisons, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who went to 260 and 104 this week? Who was that group? We had the Warners, Burkhart's. Was there anybody else? Rice's. All right. Warners, Burkhart's, Rice's. Any beatings? None. Not a one? You must not have been doing it right. Yeah, yeah. What happened? That's interesting. Great. Not a single... Again, not to get personal, but they didn't tear off your clothes and beat you. Probably would have made the news. Hey, we're just out here holding signs. We're just preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. And what happens? Well, here, They get brought before the judge, immediately beaten, and then put in prison. Would you say morale would be high or low at that point? I would say low. If it was me, I would be questioning, thinking, I'm not sure this trip was right. Verse 25, and at midnight, they were locked up too, inner prison, verse 24. Verse 25, and at midnight, who? Paul and Silas prayed. Prayed. And sang praises unto God. Sounds like they were worshiping together. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loosed. We know the story, right? And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. Why? Because he thought the prisoners were getting away. So he takes out his sword and he's about to kill himself. Death by this sword is a lot less painful than what they're going to do to me. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are here. Look at verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. What a tremendous story. There they go, walking away, going, I never would have thought I ever would have saw that. But they were together. They were together serving the Lord, seeing God work in their midst. Look at verse chapter 17. Acts 17. Now they had passed from Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, and opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Isn't that a blessing? And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. Man, what a blessing to serve together. We saw two that stood together. We saw two that worshiped together. Here we see two serve together. They were put in a place where God needed to do some work. And it was difficult, I agree. But throughout this whole passage, we saw two names repeated, Paul and Silas. Almost like you couldn't split them up, peanut butter and jelly. I just wonder what God could do with a pair here. They see great works. They see God do great things. They see exactly what we would want to see in our life. God working. We get all the way down to verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Paul and Silas had an impact. Paul and Silas had an impact. They served together, and lives were changed. And I wonder who here is just needing a buddy to stand for something, to worship together, and then to serve together. So how do you, if I'm a Paul, how do I find a Silas? Or if I'm Silas, how do I find Paul? Or if I'm Caleb, how do I find a Joshua? It all starts with availability. Come on out. Get together. Sit next to somebody new each week. Get involved in a ministry where you're exposed to a new person serving together. D.L. Moody said this, and I like it. Real true faith is man's weakness leaning on God's strength. And that's what we need. We need a couple people. We need some people together, just leaning on the Lord and allowing God to work in our midst. When Christ sent workers out in the book of Mark, they were by two. Remember? There was accountability there. There was safety there. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us, it's good to have another around you. Just in case you do fall, there's someone there to pick you up. I wonder if at any point Caleb started listening to the son of Issachar, and you know, he's kind of right, they are big. Or Joshua, man, that city is pretty tall. Caleb's like, hold on, remember who we serve. I wonder if at any point Paul, with the locks, hit his ankles as he's in the inner prison, his back is bleeding from the beatings. Silas sitting next to him, he hears a sigh of discontentment. And Silas starts up with Paul's favorite song. I'm glad there's been people in my life that sometimes when I hit a little dip in the road, they were there to encourage me to continue on. If you have been tentative or hesitant to get in, get a partner and serve together and stand together. Let's all stand.